Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my first guests today are here to talk about this Friday's, tomorrow's, Evening at Egan presentation. Welcome Vera Starbird, playwright in residence at Perseverance Theater, and Leslie Ishii, interim artistic director at Perseverance, and the director of Devilfish. Welcome.
Ganesh.
Ganesh, thank you, Shelley, for having us.
Ganesh, for being here. Your talk, your presentation tomorrow night is titled Still Healing Through Storytelling. But before we talk about that, let's hear a little bit about each of you, starting with Vera. Would you please tell me how you became a playwright?
Yeah, it was a little bit accidental. I'd actually just finished the book Devilfish. I got a grant through Rasmussen Foundation to finish my book, and I felt like my dialogue needed work. And there was an application for the Alaska Native Playwright Project through the Alaska Native Heritage Center, and said, this sounds like a good way to learn how to write dialogue for my book. And kind of the rest is history. I didn't think I would produce a play, much less be here several years later doing multiple plays. But it was a very happy accident. I've always intended to be a writer, but the playwright, it was kind of a surprise.
And you've been the playwright in residence at Perseverance Theater for a while now, 3 years, but you have been renewed for another 3 years. So
yeah.
How do you feel about that?
It's pretty amazing. It's a really unique program through the Andrew Mellon Foundation. It's the National Playwright Residency Program. And their whole purpose is just to really get the playwright in with the theater, which is rare. A lot of playwrights kind of live nomadic lifestyles to kind of hop from one theater to the other. And they wanted playwrights to be able to stay in one place for 3 years at a time and just write and see what happens and see what kind of art comes out of that. And it's been a game changer. It's completely changed my writing and how I approach things. And to be able to get that for another 3 years is amazing. It's pretty much best case scenario, best job ever.
Well, what are your plans for the next 3 years? What are some of your goals?
It's an additional, so I completed three plays, and Devilfish is actually the one of them from the last 3 years.
So you wrote Devilfish, right?
I wrote Devilfish.
Okay. I don't think I mentioned that before.
Yeah, so I wrote Devilfish, which opens next week, and that's the first one coming out of the residency. It's my second play with Perseverance Theater, but the first one to actually be a result of writing at the through the residency. So the next 3 years is to find out what additional plays I want to write. I actually have like 12 plays I want to write. So it's more about which ones I want to narrow it down to. And then Perseverance will decide from those which ones they want to produce.
That's so exciting. Well, congratulations. And I'm glad you're here. So Leslie, turning to you, currently the interim artistic director at Perseverance Theater. Have you always worked in theater?
I have. I have to say, though, as a child, I grew up as a musician playing clarinet. I actually majored in music and was a dancer as well, modern dance. I think they call it contemporary dance now. But my great aunt, Martha Nishitani, was a pioneer in modern dance in the Northwest in Seattle. So I grew up dancing, playing music, and then at one point in college, the theater bug bit. And I was in my first musical and worked with the Northwest Asian American Theater Company. So so I've been in theater a long time, really the rest of my whole career. Yeah.
And how did you become the artistic director at Perseverance? Have you worked with Perseverance in the past?
I have. Actually, it's been about a 10-year relationship off and on. I first was introduced to the theater as a voice teacher. They were starting to do some summer intensives for the artists in, throughout Alaska. And the summer intensive was based in Juneau here at Perseverance Theater. And so I was teaching voice and acting off and on. And then more recently in the last few years, I directed Hold These Truths. So this community and also up in Anchorage may remember that show, written by Jeannie Sakata, about the Japanese experience of Gordon Hirabayashi.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And what are your plans for this position going forward?
Well, first, I just have to say it's been a great honor and a pleasure to be of service to Perseverance Theater and the communities that it serves. And so to be back up here in Southeast Alaska with perseverance has been tremendous. And to see them through this transition is complicated but joyful, and really supporting them to open a new chapter. Yeah, we greatly appreciate Art Roach and his service, and, of course, the other artistic directors that came before him and Molly Smith. Mm-hmm. So it's an honor to be a part of that legacy.
Well, I think we are honored to have you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thanks both for telling me who you are and what you do. And as I said, you both work at Perseverance Theater. And you're part of the Evening at Egan presentation at the University of Alaska Southeast tomorrow night. But what's the connection between UAS and Perseverance Theater? I know there's a partnership there.
Yeah, there is a partnership. It's been ongoing for some time, actually. I'm learning that Chancellor Pugh and Artistic Director Peter Dubois actually came together to spark, really, and start a theater minor. That program has since subsided, and they've just taken on more about making sure that that campus has a rich life with theater involved, and that connection to Perseverance remains strong. And that's greatly due to the Connie Boutchever Fund, who really believes in enriching the life of students, artists, and that greater, you know, campus community life. So Perseverance is invested in that as well. So we continue to work with that fund and the university. It's our great honor and pleasure. Yeah.
That's great. It sounds like a nice match.
Mm-hmm.
Your presentation, the Evening at Egan Talk, again, is titled Still Healing Through Storytelling. You'll be co-presenting, is that correct? No, unless they're going to surprise me. no,
it's just you, Vera?
It's just me.
Not just
yeah.
you.
The Healing Through Storytelling was a previous workshop, and I shouldn't even say previous, I'm still doing it, which was focused on teaching different mediums of art to recover from trauma. It was recovering from abuse, because my previous play and something that I kind of have a lot of training and knowledge about is childhood sexual abuse. And so it was really a workshop that was focused on that. This is a little bit broader, why it's kind of titled Still Healing Through Storytelling. Mm-hmm. In some ways, it's the next phase. Which is we've been focusing on the personal healing, and now it's more focused on the communal healing. But it's also sort of double-titled that way because the Tlingit people have had these methods of healing through artistic means, through communal means, for centuries. And for a long time, they were made illegal. They were made taboo. They were made sinful. And these methods of creating art and storytelling and dance and music are absolutely a part of the philosophy of how you heal as a community, whether it's through traumatic situations or just grief that comes to all of us. So it's a little bit more talking about the broader sort of implications to a whole community on what that could mean for continuing that, but also just the history. This has been a thing for centuries, and it worked, and it worked well. And I think some of the problems that we have as a community come from that being interrupted and that being taken away. We didn't have a way to grieve and recover from trauma. And if we kind of can bring more of that in, I think those are where some of the answers come into how we heal as a community. I'm wondering if you'd say more about healing through storytelling. Like, how does storytelling help to heal, or do you have an example?
Yeah, there are some that are actually really direct and pretty scientific. And storytelling in this sense, meaning really anything that tells a story in an artistic way, that can mean visual art, that can mean oral storytelling, that can mean theater, that can mean music. And so we'd actually participants would choose between three kind of different artistic mediums for the storytelling. So for instance, for myself, writing has been an absolute way to sort of process the trauma, process the confusing feelings. It was the very first thing that I reached for as a child who'd been sexually abused. That's actually how my parents discovered I'd been abused, was I drew pictures. It's a way for children to say things that are too hard to say. Mm-hmm. And there are actually really pretty specific ways, if you see children drawing certain things, that'll actually clue you into their being abused. On a really recovery level, there's actually been a lot of studies about how, so for instance, for a study where they did people who had broken legs needed to go through physical therapy, they took one group and they just painted for 20 minutes a day. And then another group just healed, and they all had physical therapy. They all had the normal things. And the group who painted recovered so much faster, is dramatically faster, because they had that to be able to process through and sort of not just sit there in their feelings and frustrations and whatever, but help get that out was an important part of the recovery. So there are sort of these physical healings we can do, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual. And art is a way that reaches all of those things. You're physically doing something. You are spiritually doing something. You're emotionally doing something. So it's something that connects all those things we have a hard time connecting ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So is that what you'll be sharing with your audience tomorrow night at UAS?
Yes, and a little bit more of the sort of cultural sense of how we used to do it and how I think we can continue to do it. But then there's a Q&A, and if they ask any questions about it, like how I think you could personally do it, I'll touch on that too.
Is any of this related to Devilfish, or is Devilfish related to healing through storytelling?
Oh, absolutely. Besides the fact that that's just how I heal and how I kind of address things. So I'm just going to write forever. But what happens at the very beginning is you find out this girl has suffered an extreme trauma. Her entire village, everyone she knew, is destroyed by a great sea monster of legend. And really the play is about how she deals with that. And it's sort of set up with these, you know, fantastic battle sequences and dance and music and, I mean, sort of these big adventure kind of moments. But for me personally, it's ultimately about how the girl on Tana 2 works through her trauma.
And that opens on September 20th. I know we're going to have you guys back to talk about that some more. But Vera, you wrote the play. Leslie, you directed it. How was working together? Is this the first time you've worked together?
Sort of, but not really.
Right, yeah.
I would say probably officially it's the first time, but I absolutely fell in love with Hold These Truths when Leslie directed it and met her and loved her. And then we've been working on actually a lot of racial equity and social justice work through the arts together. So we've been sort of informally in a lot of ways working in that way.
Yeah.
So this is the first, like, we signed a contract working together, but it doesn't feel like a new relationship at all.
That's right. And it's absolutely mutual.
Yeah.
I have fallen in love with Vera long ago in our other work. So to get to collaborate and work through this whole rehearsal process, well, really pre-production and rehearsal process, we're going into tech. We're in tech this week.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Definitely.
It's been a real joy.
Well, we've got a week to wait for the premiere, but Vera, your Evening at Egan presentation, Still Healing Through Storytelling, takes place tomorrow night. It's Friday at the University of Alaska Southeast in the Egan Library. And you can find the whole schedule for Evening at Egan lecture series at uas.alaska.edu/Egan Lecture. Is there anything else that you guys want to say while you're here today about the talk or about Devilfish?
I would just add that there's this wonderful full circle moment happening. You know, Erin Tripp is our leading actress, our star of the show, and she is an alum of UAS.
Oh,
so to have Vera there and have Devilfish going on and our partnership with UAS is just fantastic. Couldn't be better community building and a real affirmation of community.
Yeah, that's very fulfilling.
Yeah.
How about you, Vera? Anything to add?
Oh, come to the lecture, but then for sure you got to come to the show.
All right. Well, thank you both for being there. That's a good note to go out on. Well, we will talk to you soon.
All right.
Thank you. Gonna sheesh.